I have a great friend. His name is John McCormick. He was Inc. Magazine's Entrepreneur of the Year many years ago. And one of the things that happened to him is early in his career, he was very, very successful. But he developed some beliefs that almost destroyed it. And what happened for him was he was a police officer in the early 60s, and he was assigned to a pretty tough area, the Bronx and Harlem. And he found himself one day in a position where he got a call about a burglary, and he raced to that call. On the way, he passed two other officers in a car who were just moseying on over. So he found himself alone with one gun and surrounded by four men with shotguns. Now, he was fairly freaked out, but he took control. He acted totally certain, which is a good thing to do when someone's got a gun on you. He said, "Listen, you're totally surrounded. Drop the guns. If you shoot me, you're going to fry forever. Besides that, how much money did you get anyway?" And he asked it with such certainty. One guy said, $27. He said, "You want to die for $27? Drop your gun." And sure enough, they all dropped it. Certainty can be a pretty great asset. Sometimes you got to believe when there's no reason to believe. That, by the way, is called faith. And we all have faith. Belief is something you learn to have. Faith is something you're born with. See, you can't drive down the street with a little yellow line separating you from all those crazies unless you have faith. Otherwise, you have to stay home, because what's going to prevent them from driving over to your side of the lane and killing you? Nothing. It happens every day. So how could you possibly drive with such uncertainty? You just have faith that it's going to work out. You don't focus on, "Oh my God, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if it doesn't work out or you couldn't drive?" Well, the same thing is true with making a change or making a goal happen. Making it real. Let me tell you the rest of the story with John, though. So John took a look at his life after that and said, "You know, do I really want to risk my life to save somebody else's $27? And it was near Christmas time, and he was a bit frustrated, so he decided to make a change. Why? He got disturbed. Remember that? He said, "This is disturbing. I'm risking my life for $27? I don't think so. And none of the other officers cared enough to even speed up and help me." Second, he decided he wanted something else in his life. And so it was Christmas time, and he said, "You know what? I'm going to get together with my brother and let's sell some Christmas trees and see if I got another option for making some money in my life, because this is not fulfilling me." He got clear he was unfulfilled. For years, he kidded himself and said, "Yeah, it's not that bad a job." Now he realized no more. So what does he want? He wants a new job, a new opportunity. He doesn't know what to do, so he came up with a massive action plan. He got together with his brother and they poured together their money. He was making about $80 a week at the time. They put together, between them, $300, which is all the money they had, and it was one truckload of trees to get themselves started. They rented this little lot, and then they ran into the next problem. They found out nobody really in New York buys trees during the day. They usually come out at night to shop for that, and they had no electricity and no lights. His brother said, "Forget it. We're in this lot. There's no electricity. They're not going to buy here at night with no electricity. There's no lights. They can't see the trees. We've got to go home." What's that called? A belief. Fortunately, John was disturbed enough, and he had a strong enough desire that he came up with another plan. He said, "I believe there's another way to do this. Look, all we need is a long enough extension cord." And his brother said, "What?" He said, "Look, there's lots of houses around here. Somebody's got to help us. I believe somebody will help us." And you know what? John was certain. He knocked on doors with certainty, and no, 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 in a New York environment. And finally, one lady turned out that she had a son that worked for the police department. And she said, "Sure, I'll let you do it." So they got enough extension cords together, and they put together the little Christmas tree lot. Well, once they had lights, they were in business. And during that season, John's half of the profits equaled $3,000 over a 3.5-week period of time. Think about that compared to $80 a week. He was a pretty happy camper. But he didn't stop there. He started to believe, "You know what? There's a way for me to make more money while I sleep than I did while I was working." Which, by the way, is one of the principles you'll learn about on the financial session. But anyway, here's what he did. He took his $3,000 and he invested in stocks during the 1960s, another bull market, if you recall, and he made $100,000 in less than a year on his investments. He was doing so well that a couple of people in the brokerage house asked to meet him, and they offered him a job. He went to work within the brokerage, and in less than a year, he turned his $100,000 into $1.5 million. He was riding high. He got himself several limousines, one for himself and one for his extra friends. It's amazing when you get that much money how many extra friends you suddenly have in your life. And even his lady, who later became his wife, dropped him and said, "You know what, when you get real, give me a call." Sometimes people's beliefs change. They start to think with certainty that they can't make a mistake, and boy, that's a problem, isn't it? The bottom line is, it only took him 3 more months to lose it all. Not only lose it all, but he thought for sure he could do well, so he borrowed another $250,000 and lost it too. He literally got to the point in his life where he was considering killing himself, because he just felt like he had nothing to live for. He lost everything. He felt like he was stripped of his dignity. And he went to the beach. And he was looking out at the water, thinking about how he might end his life. He figured his insurance money might help out his family. And then a man walked by who was ready to alter his beliefs again. A man named Abe, an older guy, probably 75 years old. And he walked by and said, Sonny, the ship ain't coming in here. You got to go out and make the ship happen. He said, what are you talking about? And he met a mentor, a man who would become his hour of power each morning on the beach. Without telling you his whole story, I'll just tell you this. Abe got him from stop thinking about what he didn't have in his life and start believing what he did. One of the first things he asked him was, tell me, let's make a balance sheet of your life. You know what a balance sheet is? And John said, well, yeah, sure. He said, but, you know, here's what I got. You know, I've got no real job opportunities. I got police officer's education, and I got no money, and I owe $250,000. And Abe said to him, you know, any man who knows more about his liabilities than his assets is really in trouble. He said, well, I don't really have any assets. He said, young man, if you got someone to loan you $250,000, you have some assets, because anybody can convince people to do that has got persuasive power. He said, do you know the English language? He said, well, yeah. He said, write it down. That's an enormous asset. He said, do you know currency? He said, well, you mean like dollars to yen? He goes, no. Do you know how to make change? Dollars, quarters. Do you know how to make change? He goes, well, yeah. He goes, write that down. Knows currency. He went through this whole list. He said, do you know how many people came to this country who didn't speak English, that didn't understand the currency, that didn't know anybody, didn't have any friends, they didn't have anything, and became multimillionaires? He said, you have so many assets, it's a joke, but you know more about your limitations. When you have limiting beliefs, you have limitations. It's time to get rid of them. The end of John's story is Abe became his mentor and helped him to change his beliefs by just challenging him. And that's what you got to do for yourself. Challenge the old things that are in your head. Don't let them sit around like old records that play again and again. You wouldn't listen to music you were bored with. You wouldn't go to a movie over and over again that you knew was insane and boring and stupid. Why would you go to that in your head by listening to a belief that doesn't make sense? Only because you're not aware of it. So let's handle it. And by the way, my good friend John got many other mentors in his life and, as I told you, became Entrepreneur of the Year. This is an amazing turnaround. All turnarounds are a turnaround in beliefs. So you might say, but Tony, I don't want to make $1 million. I just want to lose some weight. I want to get myself to work out. Well, let me give some examples of friends of mine and family members, because these are people I not only know what the result was initially, but I know what they've had a lasting change, because that's what you want, right? You don't want to just change for a moment. The way to get lasting changes is not only get a plan, but develop a sense of absolute certainty that working out or whatever it is you want to change is what you're about as a person. Let me give you this example. This young lady, for years, she wanted to work out. She talked about working out, but she just never get herself to do it. In fact, sometimes watching me work out would get her really negative, because it reminded her of all the times that she wasn't working out, what she wasn't doing, what she wasn't following through on. But I got to tell you something. She made a revolution, and frankly, she's my role model now. I mean, she is so absolutely consistent, no excuses, and the changes were a change in beliefs. But I'll tell you what her beliefs were 5 years ago, her psychology, if you will, and what they are today. 5 years ago, she believed, I'll never exercise, but I really want to. Now think about that. I never exercise, but I want to. Want is such a weak thought, isn't it? You never work out when you want something. You don't do something when you know you should do it. You only do it when it's really a must for you. Secondly, she thought, well, it's not that bad yet. You know, that's a great way to live your life. You know, live your life so it's not bad enough for you to change, so just live in a way that doesn't really fulfill you. You know, the yet is the key word there, because it tells you she believed it was going to get worse. Third is she believed there's still time. I mean, I'm still young enough, I can still turn it around. And her fourth belief was it takes too much time. You know, I'm just so busy right now. The truth is she's more busy today than any time in her life. She has more responsibilities. She never misses the exercise. And it is her juice. It is what makes her life work. But back then, there wasn't time. Then it was too painful. And one of the reasons was when you first work out the first time, it feels good. But day two, if you're lifting weights or even running, very often within 2 or 3 days, you might feel stiff initially because you're using muscles you haven't used before. So she'd feel that stiffness and then decide to quit. Well, then she'd go back to exercising and she never made it through the threshold. She'd have to start over and go through the pain again. If you just keep working out, you don't go through that pain. You have the normal momentum. The muscles work. Everything feels great. It's just that initial time, but she kept going through the initial barrier again and again, so she linked pain to exercise. Six, she didn't believe she could really afford a trainer. But when I had nothing, I went out and got a trainer because I valued my body so much. I said, this has to be as important to me as a meal. This has to be important to me as anything else, because by not having a trainer, she'd work out too hard. She'd overdo it. And then what would happen is she developed certainty, all right, certainty that exercise equals pain. And finally, she believed it was easier to eat than it was to do anything else. You know, something happened, she got scared, she ate. She got stressed, she ate. She got herself in a position where she felt overwhelmed, she'd go eat. What changed her life was something disturbed her. And again, for some people, that's having a birthday with a zero or maybe a five after the age of 40 at least. For some people, it's someone says something to them, or they feel overwhelmed, or they finally look in the mirror and tell themselves the truth, or they just feel so fat they hit threshold. And living on the beach, right on the sand, she decided one morning to go out for a walk. And she loved it, just walking along the beach, hearing the water, letting her thoughts flow. The next day she walked again. After a couple weeks of doing this, she started jogging. After a couple weeks of jogging, she got a trainer. And after a while, it became her total time. Today, she has a totally different set of beliefs. First of all, she works out all the time. 6 days a week is pretty consistent for her. So her first belief now is, I must have time for myself every day to think about my life. And that gives me more to give to others. And this is my time, and it comes first. Second, she believes, I'm worth it. Nothing's more important than this. Third, she believes it's her real hour of power, that she runs or she lifts for 40 minutes to an hour, but she's certain at the end to read for 5 or 10 minutes and then just meditate. She reads something she believes is spiritual, something she thinks will trigger her mind to create an extraordinary life, one that's guided, and then she closes her eyes and she just lets her mind disappear. In the last couple of minutes, she visualizes what she wants for her life, and she says it's the most powerful centering thing she does. Fourth, she believes, if I don't do this, I get stressed easier, I get tired easier, and when I do it, I have the edge, and it's the edge of peacefulness. She said, people tell me all the time, going, oh, heck's breaking loose around you, but you seem so calm. She said, because I create that calm first thing in the morning, I create that strength. Her fifth belief is it's fun, and she said, I love it. She said, you know, when I'm exercising, I don't go, oh, my God, there's 5 minutes left, or, oh, my God, how am I going to possibly last this time? She says, when it gets tough, I start thinking, yes, yes, yes. I chant that in my head. I smile and close my eyes and feel myself getting stronger. She's linked it up as fun, whereas before it was pain. She said, it's part of my identity of being an achiever. She goes, it feels so good to me to have my kids have to work hard to keep up with me. I get on that running machine or on that bike, that spinning bike, and they got to work hard to keep up with me, and they're half my age. She goes, that feels pretty awesome. She goes, plus, I believe it's an investment in my longevity. I believe that if my mom and dad would have worked out the way I have, they wouldn't have died the way they did. Both of them died of cancer. And finally, she said, my body is my temple. So now she lives her life in a different way, and it's a celebration of her body where she used to hate it. She's telling me the other day, she goes, I don't understand people get upset on their birthday. She goes, it's a great day. She said, on my last birthday, you know what I really did? I went for a walk, and all I did was spend the whole hour giving thanks for every part of my body. My heart that's beat every day without taking a break. No lunch break, no time off. Even when I wasn't paying attention, it was there. My eyes that have shown me the love on people's faces. She said, the ears that allowed me to hear the most magnificent music and conversation. She said, the skin I get to touch with. She just lives in total gratitude for every part of her body. Now, that's quite a shift. And what that does is it makes her addicted to really taking care of herself.